Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can find a link to email me there, and I would appreciate that. If you think what I'm saying is wrong, then you have a duty if you call yourself one of his, if you belong to Yahshua, and you have a duty to correct me, because as we've discovered in Leviticus here, he defined loving your neighbor as correcting your neighbor if you see him going astray. So if you think I'm going astray in my teaching here, and I do want to teach what is right in the sight of our Heavenly Father. So if you think I'm wrong, and you can substantiate that through his word, then please, please email me and correct me, set me right, because I don't want to be out here teaching the wrong thing. I'll tell you that. Let the Heavenly Father examine my heart, and let you examine my words according to his word, and maybe we can get a good teaching going here and rightly divide his word together. I also believe in the biblical example, biblical guideline of what a church should be. And I believe the example that's given to us is not a one-man show, as you have in most of the corporate churches, where one man stands up in front of the whole congregation and he has a prepared message, and if anyone else has anything to say, that they need to hold their peace until afterwards or something. I believe that the example in the scripture is that the elders in the church, and those would be the older men. The elders are those that are older and more learned in the scripture, those who have spent more time in the word, should engage in a dialogue, perhaps. And we see that example in the scripture, and that it doesn't become a one-man show, because I believe that's really a great danger, where a lot of people get led astray when they start looking to one man or a man, or even a group of men like they have in some organized religions. You know, they have the head, the big honcho, like the Pope, and then the cardinals and all the lowerarchy below them. And I believe that that is called what the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and that means ruling over the common people, or ruling over the lay people. Because my name being Nicholas, I know that it means to rule, and of course the laity. So if you have the Nicolaitans, then you can read about that in the book of Revelations, where Yahshua says he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and that is where the church is in a position of rulership. The hierarchy in the church is in a position of rulership over the people, where you have this hierarchy in religion like a government. And I believe that we have one major example of that on planet Earth, and many minor examples of that in Protestantism, even, you know, the daughters of the great whore. But that's a whole other topic, and we'll have our day to discuss all of those things. Okay, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 4. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man which giveth his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, his family will cut him off, and all who do gore and whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among the people. You know, and I believe there's really a mandate here. Okay, because it's not just doing it, but it's entertaining it. And he says, if you don't kill the murderers, if you don't kill the abortionists, and I'm not telling anyone to go out here and kill anybody, because you're going to end up in prison at least, if not dead yourself, if you do this. But I believe that this requires at least passive resistance. And how do you passively resist helping these murderers, these priests of Molech, who are out here pushing abortion and birth control on the wicked and the children of the wicked, and our own children, even if you have children in the public school, which I believe is an abomination. I don't believe any follower of Yah should have his children in any public school whatsoever, because these are just, you know, education is their religion, basically. You know, it is the religion of the heathen government out here, their religion is education, and their education is religious, makes you a good little status, a good little idol worshiper, you know, a good little idolater. That's what they're trying to turn out. They're doing a very good job in the public school system. So anyone who says the public school system isn't doing a good job, believe me, they're doing exactly what they want to do. They may not be educating your children reading, writing, and arithmetic very well, and they want you to believe that that's their primary function. But no, their primary function is to indoctrinate your children into being good little status and good little idolaters. Because what are they teaching them? They're teaching them exact opposite of what Yahushua said was important. He said, after all these things, do the Gentiles teach? So you send your children to the public school, and what do they teach them? To seek after things. Where in his kingdom, education should be to seek his kingdom first. And yes, teach your children reading and writing and arithmetic so they can function well in the world. But all of this controlled history and these lies and, oh man, I just saw the lies I learned in the public fool system, all of the indoctrination about what history was. All lies. Just blatantly all lies. They take a little bit of truth and they spin it exactly the way that they want you to believe it so that they can control your mind by controlling what you believe about the past. Well, now you've heard what I believe about the public school system. Pull your children out of public school. And I can say that because I am not a state church or a state organization or a state-sponsored ministry. I can say whatever I want under the First Amendment in freedom from state control, religion, and freedom of the press and freedom of speech. You know, that's the lamb-like qualities of the beast government, which governs near the land where I live anyway. Okay, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I, Yahuwah, your God, am holy. Leviticus 20, verse 7, verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes. Forget about the statutes of man. Keep his statutes. If you keep his statutes, and they cause you to break the statutes of man, well, so be it, you know. Because we have supposed to have religious liberty in this land. And their statutes require me to break his law. If they have a statute that doesn't require me to break his law, I will follow it. I have no problem with it. If it's in compliance with his law. But the minute it tells me that I have to covet, or I have to have them steal from my brother for me, because theft by government is still theft, and if I participate, or that I have to fund abortions, they're going to hold a gun to my head, or to my brother's head, or to my neighbor's head, or to the guy up the street, so that they can fund abortions and birth control, something that goes against my father's law. Well, that's against my father's law. Are they going to force charity out of me and my neighbor? They're causing me to break his law. Then I'm not required to do it. Sure. Now, I'll obey their speed limit law if I'm out there traveling on the highways, because it doesn't require me to break the father's law. So I don't mind doing that. If it's going to offend them, if I go over their suggested speed limit signs, then, you know, I'll maintain. I'll go with the flow, you know, as far as that goes. It's not requiring me to break his law. But I'm not going to give them money voluntarily so that they can go and take that money and perform abortions and force other people to do things that are against his law. So passive resistance, at least, that's what I see here in the law. You should keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahuwah, which sanctifieth you. For everyone that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father and mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now, I don't believe this is a death penalty for swearing at your father and mother. Although, and also we discussed capital punishment, and not what would Jesus do, but what did he do. So we see that this is a guideline, and we see that in the law here that our Heavenly Father is very concerned about honoring the elders among us, honoring our father and our mother, and not doing the opposite and cursing them. And, you know, I believe that cursing, like love and hate, is action. I don't believe it's just a feeling. Everyone's relegated these things to just feelings or just plain words. It's like, you know, honor your father and mother. Well, I heard, well, that doesn't mean that I have to obey them. Huh? Well, then it doesn't mean anything at all. And here, it's like cursing. It's not just a word, but it's carrying it out. It's an action, too. But this is the standard. I mean, and believe me, that there would not be a lot of cursing or disobedience if these statutes were carried out, which they obviously weren't, because all of the statutes in the law were also carried out voluntarily. Our Heavenly Father never forced anyone to do anything. He's looking for volunteers to live in His kingdom. Now, Israel was supposed to be a type of the spiritual kingdom, of that spiritual realm. You know, the one where Paul said, I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in the New King James Version, or the King James Version in the modern English. I sit in heavenly places in Christ Yeshua. That's what he said. He was talking about we sit in a spiritual realm. His kingdom is here. It's among us, but it's on a different plane. It's not on the same plane as the governments of men out there, because it's not just a government that only exists in the minds of men, but it is a reality, and it is the only government that will live forever. He's looking for volunteers that desire to live according to His law and His statutes, and the desire to do these things because they love Him. And why do they love Him? Because He provided a way for them. He redeemed them. He redeemed us. That's why we love Him. And because we love Him, we want to please Him. That's the evidence will be the works that follow in our lives. Doesn't mean we'll become perfect immediately, but it means that we will learn obedience and that we are learning obedience if we belong to Him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And I believe last time we talked about this a little bit, how that the scribes, the Pharisees, those hypocrites, they brought a woman before Yahshua for him to judge, but they didn't bring the man. They said, we caught her in the very act. Well, if they caught her in the very act, where was the man? Because the law here says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer, the man, and the adulteress, the woman, shall surely be put to death. Do I think that we should have the adultery? I believe. You know, I'm a man. I've been married 3 times. My first 2 wives went out and committed adultery. Did they deserve death? Well, I'll tell you what, for the havoc they wreaked in my children's life and my life, I think it would have been better off if they were dead, to tell you the truth. It would have been better if they died, because I've had a wife die too. My 3rd wife died. And that was a lot less painful than having a woman live in adultery, leave in adultery, and to live in continual adultery for the rest of her life. And that's the position they've taken because they've never repented. They're still adulteresses. I don't care what the laws of men say about them, or even though adultery is now legal in America, there's no retribution for it. And that's where the laws of the state, the laws of man, the kingdoms of this world, differ from the laws of our Heavenly Father. Adultery is not a crime. It should be, and I'll tell you what, if capital punishment was practiced for adultery, then I'll tell you there would be a lot less of it. Of course, since the state, the beast government's out here, they want to destroy the family, because family government competes with the state government, and that's why they love adultery, and that's why they hate the family. Because if families become strong, if they become patriarchal, like what is taught in the kingdom, in the Bible, and in His kingdom government, patriarchy, then you have strong family clans, and you have another government out here, the family government. And the beast governments don't like that. They want to control the people. They want to rape them and steal from them. Because you get in politics today, you get high up in the government, you get rich. And what do you get rich off of? You get rich off of the backs of the people. You know, the regular people out there. You get to rape them of their labor and their life to enrich yourself. What a wonderful thing politics today is. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And we go on here. Leviticus 20, 11. The man that lieth with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both them shall be surely put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife of her mother and her mother to wife, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. If a woman approacheth unto any beast, and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And a man, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, okay, it's talking about a blood sister here, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, she shall lie, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of the people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. So it's kind of a lesser crime. At least they're not put to death for that one. So that's a man with a half-sister. Not quite the death penalty, but they're cut off in the sight of the people. If a man lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and the both they shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor their father's sister, for he that uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie down with his uncle's wife, and he uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. You shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I, Yahuwah, am your God, which has separated you from other people. You shall, and I'm going to stop there. I got a few comments to make on this. Of course, they were commanded to cast out the people before them, to kill them all, men, women, and children. This was a judgment that the Heavenly Father wrought against these people, doing all of these abominations in the land before them. And we see there were some things that were lesser in severity than others. And this something else I was thinking about last night as I was contemplating and meditating on the Word and for this study. And I was thinking about Adam and Eve, the first man and the woman, and how they had children. And of course, their children had to mate with each other. So you had sisters and brothers. And from what we just read, a man laying with his father's, with a half sibling, was not a capital offense. It was somewhat a lesser crime. They were just cut off, but it wasn't required a capital crime. So you see that there are lesser sins in severity as far as judgment or the punishment for those sins. And then there are some things that are just abominable, you know, like homosexuality or lying with a beast and so forth. And all of these things, these were things that were going on in the land before them. Of course, in sacrificing their children to Molech after they were born, selling their daughters into whoredom. All of these things were the regular operation of these nations. Probably many of these things were government-sponsored, as they are today, required even under the laws of the cities that they are in the lands that they were going in. You can only take it to, I mean, we in the land that we live in, by the grace of God, because of what Yahushua did, we see that there's a lot more restraint by the Holy Spirit and by the things that came through Christianity into the governments, that the governments are a lot more restrained than they were then. So you take all the restraints off of government now that were taken off then, and you'd see that we'd have something that would be just totally unbearable today if the standard was the same now as it was then. But we have different standards now, and I believe much of it has to do with the influence of the Holy Scriptures and of Yahuwah's people. But getting back to the point is the point of incest. Well, incest was not a statute until the statute was given here, because actually incest was required, and there was no word for incest. When Adam and Eve had children, those children had to mate. And I'm sure that naturally they separated themselves out as far as they could, as fast as they could, on who was taking who for a mate. But among their first children, of course, they had to mate with each other. And then I've heard that, of course, whenever I bring up patriarchy and the fact that all the patriarchs and the law, even in instance, required a man to take more than one wife. Actually, the law of our Heavenly Father even required a man to take more than one wife under circumstances. And certainly no place in the law was any man ever condemned for taking more than one wife. So this was a common practice, though it probably was not all that commonly practiced in Israel or in the Hebrew nation, in that most people probably never did have more than one partner. That would probably be the norm, but it would not be, was not considered abnormal for a man to have more than one wife either, as it would be today in our Roman Greco-influenced forced monogamous system that we have today. So we see that the incest statute came in here, and for a good reason. The further you get, and we know by scientific means now that with every generation more mutations are introduced, and that if you with incest those mutations are compounded. So it's a good thing that the incest statute was instituted, and that we do live by that. And I'm going to finish commenting on that after we get back from the break. So stick with me, and we'll be back in a few minutes.